But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
A couple of weeks ago, Google released its annual Year in Search data. That's the list of the things that have been Googled or searched for on the internet most frequently in 2023. The most searched for news stories were the war between Israel and Hamas, followed by the missing Titan submersible. The deaths that provoked the most interest in this country included the death of the Friends star Matthew Perry and the death of Nicola Bully, the mum who went missing in Lancashire. The most Googled film was Oppenheimer, closely followed by Barbie. Anyone seen Oppenheimer? A few. Anyone seen Barbie? I liked Barbie best of the two. The most Googled TV show in this country, any guesses? Not Succession, it was Happy Valley this year. Anybody watch Happy Valley? What are you all reading books or something? Weirdos, honestly. Most searched for people in this country were Hugh Edwards, Philip Schofield, Russell Brand, and Andrew Tate, all of whom have hit the headlines for dubious choices in their personal lives. Some of the most searched for how questions were how to prevent bed bugs, that's the anxiety about the bed bugs in Paris, and how often do men think about the Roman Empire? I asked my son that question and he went, probably every other day. What? Anyway, the most searched for when questions were when is the coronation and when does Love Island start? That was number two. And finally, the most popular question asked globally was, where's my refund? Which really amused me. I love reading those lists. And also, Google have now got 25 years worth as well, so they've got this comparative data, which is really interesting. At this time of year, the media is full of news reviews, highlights, charts, highs and lows, and lists of the past year. And this time of year has become an opportunity to look back and reflect on what has been and also to look forward and to wonder what might lie ahead. Perhaps that's why people often talk about these few days now as being twixtmas or crimbo limbo, that sense of being between two things. And whilst some people have taken down their Christmas decorations, in the church we are still very much in the season of Christmas. And today, as we read those familiar verses from Luke 2, we're invited to do what everyone else is doing, to look back and reflect and to think about what lies ahead. In verse 19 of chapter 2, after describing the birth of Jesus and the visitation by the shepherds, Luke tells us that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love the use of that word treasured. It's almost as it's a visual image, a visual word for me, sort of collecting up these precious things and holding on to them. It suggests that she understands that the events that were happening were precious events and that they were a gift from God, something worth holding on to. And I wonder for you, as you look back over the past year, Are there any moments or memories which you will treasure? As you look back, are there any points where you feel like that felt like an answered prayer, or God was in that moment? Was there anything that happened that felt like a gift from God? As I look around the room, I'm aware that there are many good things that have been happening in people's lives, things to give thanks for and praise for. But I also like the second part of Luke's phrase too, because he says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So it suggests that Mary understood something significant had happened, but she may not have understood why it had happened, or she may not have understood why it had happened to her, or what it might mean for the future. And again, as you look back over this past year, I wonder if anything has happened that has left you wondering, why that? Why me? Why us? Why now? What was that all about? And what might happen? And again, as I look around the room, as much as I'm aware of the good things that are happening in people's lives, I'm also aware that many of us are living with questions, or with challenges, or with unresolved issues, or as yet unanswered prayers. And just as we need to give thanks for some things, I also think we need to give ourselves permission to lament as well. I think it's perfectly fine before God to give thanks and praise, but also to say, but that was hard and that hurt, and I'm angry or confused or disappointed. So Luke gives us one short line, but for me it says a huge amount about life of faith, that there is much to give thanks for, but also much that doesn't yet make sense. God may have done what the angel Gabriel had promised Mary at the Annunciation, by which, I say, the angel appeared and said, you're going to have this son, and Mary said, but how? But what the angel said had come to pass, but Mary is still faced with a great deal of uncertainty. She didn't really know for sure who this baby was, or why he'd come, or what he'd become, or why his birth was greeted with shepherds and angels. It is very easy to look back with all the knowledge that we have now to say, well, of course it's obvious, but I suspect it was far from obvious at the time. And I presume that her pondering was her way of trying to make sense of the things that were happening. In much the same way that perhaps for us, when things happen in life that are unexpected or hard to explain, we may ponder them just to try and understand, what's this about and why is it me? I think at the outset of a new year, many of us also share Mary's experience of uncertainty. We are not sure, we cannot be sure what the future holds. That could be to do with relationships, or work, or housing, or health, or finances, or our hopes for the future. If God was like Google, I wonder what you would be searching for right now. What question would you be asking God? And what's the answer that you would hope to hear? Although Mary's future is just as uncertain as all of our futures, Luke gives us an interesting detail in verse 21. He says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he was conceived. So in the face of an uncertain future, Mary follows the customs of her people by having her child circumcised, and then she does what God has asked her to do. She gives him the name that the angel had given to her. So in essence, she is following God into an uncertain future by trusting him and being obedient to him and hoping that his purposes will become clear. And what that suggests to me is that as a Christian, it's entirely possible to be full of gratitude and hope and despair and fear and trust all at the same time. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, I think that's what it should feel like when you're a Christian. That mix of emotions of trust and hope, anxiety, fear, doubt, all of it in together. At this time of year, as we look backwards and look forwards, as we treasure the good things that God has done, as we ponder what the future might bring and what it might mean, we're also invited to do what Mary did, which is to step out into that uncertain future, trusting God with our lives, and also trusting God with the lives of the people that we love. For many Christians, the new year is an opportunity to recommit ourselves to God. And in the Methodist Church, you probably know that a prayer is used called the Methodist Covenant Prayer. And it's a prayer of commitment to God, of renewing that relationship with God. I'll read it to you now, and I just invite you to think about how the prayer makes you feel. Because I know every time I read it, I think, gosh, this is a big prayer to pray. The prayer says, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. I think for me, that's a prayer that I aspire to be able to pray with honesty and integrity. But I think I might just choke on some of the lines, if I'm honest. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. I guess the prayer is fundamentally saying that God, whatever the future holds, we trust you. And we trust that you are in all things and to be found in all things. One of the difficulties of living in the age of Google is that we get used to having the answer to life's questions at the end of our fingertips. It's constant. Just last night we were watching something on TV and Nick asked a question. Oh, just have a quick look. Oh, how old's this person? A quick look. Oh, she's 83. Everything's there at the touch of your screen. If we want to know what or when or who or how or where, we just Google it. And actually, the life of faith doesn't always make sense and it doesn't always have answers either. And that means that it can be hard to step out in faith. It can be hard to trust God when we don't know what's coming. Yesterday I was reading an article about New Year traditions from around the world, and there are some very interesting ones. Apparently wearing red underwear in Italy is a New Year tradition. Who knew? Carrying an empty suitcase in Colombia, I really like that one. The idea is that it might lead to more travel. I may do that one. Throwing old furniture out of the window in Johannesburg. The one that really caught my eye, though, was in Denmark, where at midnight people mark the new year by, does anyone know? Jumping off a chair, apparently, which symbolises jumping into the new year. I liked that. At the beginning of this new year, God's inviting each one of us to step into the new year in faith and to trust him in the year ahead. And I think for me, stepping out in faith is probably a bit like marking New Year in Denmark. You just got to jump. You just got to jump off your chair. I was thinking about it yesterday, like, what is it that helps me to step out in faith? I don't think there are any intellectual answers. I think you just do it, which is why you just jump off your chair and trust that God's there. So if you get the chance this afternoon, maybe just for 5 minutes, you could take a moment to look back, give thanks for the answered prayers, the unexpected blessings, the good things that have happened, as well as the inevitable uncertainty. And maybe take some time to look forwards as well. Just notice, where might God be asking you to trust him? What is it for you that feels uncertain as you look to the future? And perhaps when it gets to midnight, If your knees permit, and if you haven't had too much to drink, maybe you'll just remember this sermon and take a chair. I have to be careful because I pulled a muscle in my side on Christmas Day. But maybe at midnight, you just got to say, God, I really don't know. I don't know, Lord, what's coming. It feels ominous. I'm full of hope and fear and excitement and trepidation, but come on! The life of faith is nothing if not exciting. Amen.